Welcome to Living Orthodoxy, an invitation to a deeper life in Christ, a podcast of St. Philip Orthodox Church in Souderton, Pennsylvania, dedicated to connecting the liturgical and spiritual life of the Orthodox parish with the life of the Orthodox home, presenting the weekly homilies of our parish pastors, Father Noah Buscelli and Father James Thayer, as well as discussions of the liturgical year and Orthodox life and practice by Justin Bowl and Jeff Hyatt. Now here is Father James Thayer.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let me tell you what kind of man Zacchaeus was. We know from the gospel lesson that he was short, that he was chief among the publicans, and that he was rich. Let me tell you from my experience in Africa what kind of a man Zacchaeus was. Zacchaeus was a big man, obviously not referring to his stature, but to a man who was rich or influential or powerful. For example, a paramount chief, a section chief, the imam of the mosque, the pastor of the church, depending on what religion you're talking about, the village policeman, the headmaster of the local school. Yes, I remember once there were boys playing soccer on Sunday in the village I was living in. Suddenly, the headmaster and the mayor of the village appeared at the soccer game. And they said, hey, this is Sunday. 6 days you have to play soccer, not today. And I don't know what American teenagers would have said to big men, but these African youths said, yes, sir, very sorry, sir. And they took their soccer ball and everybody went home. But another example I have from our own territory is Bishop Thomas. I was talking to Floyd Frantz. Do you remember the missionary Floyd Frantz? We were driving up here and he said, who's your bishop here? I said, Bishop Thomas Joseph. Oh yes, he said, I knew him in Texas. We used to call him Tommy. And he said to me, I don't think we call him Tommy anymore, do we? I said, no, we don't call him Tommy anymore. He's become a big man. Bishop Thomas is one of our big men. And a big man didn't have to be good to be a big man. I think all of us in this room have probably seen the movie The Godfather. Oh yes, The Godfather was a big man, but he was not a good man. Zacchaeus was a big man, but he was not a good man. He extorted money for taxes at rates that he set, with great profit to himself. And when it says he's the chief of the tax collectors, I'm sure that is the, you know, sort of the capo di tutto capi, or whatever they say in the mafias, the head of all the heads of the houses, that they paid him a cut of what they took. Oh no. The world is full of such rich big men who have grown rich illegally or unethically. This story, though, has several twists and turns. First, Jesus, surrounded by a crowd, looked up and saw Zacchaeus in the tree. Jesus saw him and called him by name. How did he know who he was? We don't know. Maybe he was just that short crook in town, or maybe he knew him by reputation. Jesus saw him and invited himself to Zacchaeus' house. And I'm sure Zacchaeus was not used to people giving him orders. He gave the orders. But here, Jesus said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste, I'm coming to your house. But the second twist is that Zacchaeus hurried home to have the meal prepared. And as the gospel says, received him joyfully. Why would that be? He was a crook and a scoundrel. And yet there must have been something about Jesus that made him curious, or excited him, or pleased him. And the third twist in this little tale is that this was no ordinary lunch or supper. Something profound happened. Something about Jesus pricked Zacchaeus' conscience. The dark and greedy soul of Zacchaeus met him who is light and life, and the darkness melted away. Zacchaeus saw how bad he was, and he repented before Jesus of Nazareth. We can only surmise what Zacchaeus felt as he dined with Jesus, but many of us have come to Christ because we sense within ourselves something, a darkness, a sense of loss, something necessary but lacking. And we see in Christ the goodness, the purity, and innocence that we lost in the Garden of Eden, but which is restored to us in Christ and through Christ. When we truly come to know Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, we can only do what Zacchaeus did, namely, repent. Repent of the evil we have done, the darkness we have loved, and all the petty nastiness that we have indulged in. And when he repented, he became a very different kind of big man. And his restitution makes him a very different kind of big man. In Africa, if a big man is not generous with his money or his power or his influence for the good of others, either his extended family or the community at large, that man is rather scornfully referred to or labeled a big man in his own compound only. Such was Zacchaeus before Jesus came to him. But after his repentance and his promise of restitution, he became a true big man, one who is great in the kingdom of heaven, a true disciple of Jesus Christ. And as we approach Great Lent, my brothers and sisters, we ought to ponder very deeply not only repentance, but also restitution. Often this restitution can happen to those we have wronged, to our spouse, to our siblings, to your children. All this is possible, to ask forgiveness and to try to make the situation good again. But what happens about those who, at our age, Fred, people who are dead, or we haven't seen them for 40 years. They've moved away. We've lost touch. But yet we did them wrong. Serious wrong. What can we do about them? Notice that Zacchaeus promised to restore to those whom he had defrauded. He said, I will restore fourfold. So if I took $100 illegally, I'll give him $400 back. But he also said, I will distribute half my goods to the poor. Well, whom he may not have known, he certainly didn't tax, they were poor. And if we have lost touch with those we have wronged, I would advise you, as the apostle says, for this Lent, to be zealous in good works, giving mightily to the poor, to the needy, to charity. If you know and can find the person you wronged, then bow down before them and apologize. and make restitution. But for those you can't, dead or lost to you, follow Zacchaeus's example. Give half your goods to the poor. Well, all right. Pull yourself together, Father James. But seriously, we can make restitution through a third party, so to speak. Let me give you an example. After World War II, the Federal Republic of Germany, known as West Germany, made contributions to the State of Israel. Well, during the Nazi time, the Germans had been responsible for the deaths of over 6 million Jews. And they made payments to the State of Israel all through the 50s, I think well into the 60s. This was a program that the Germans said, they called it the Wiedergutmachen, the making it good again between us, the German people, and you, the Jews. Now let me ask you this. The Jews receiving those payments, do you think they said, oh yeah, okay, that's fine, this makes up for the 6 million dead, that's good? Or do you think the Germans said, well, here's some money, hope that makes up for your family that was wiped out? No, nobody thought that. The Germans didn't think it, the Jews didn't think it. But the payments were made in order to try to make it good between us, make it good again, Wiedergutmachen, between us. Yes, that's what I would advise you to do this Lent, that those who have been lost to you, that you have wronged, you should both repent for that, but make restitution through a third party. Give money to the Salvation Army, to a poor relative. And I'm thinking serious money. Let me just give you an example. I don't know, I'm sort of down at the heel myself, so it might be a little low, but if you put $500 aside every month to your IRA, say, no, this month I am giving it to, we're not doing it this month. That's a serious contribution. And it could be to a charity, or maybe you have a great niece or a nephew who's in graduate school and doesn't have two nickels to rub together. How happy they would be to receive some money from their uncle or aunt. Do you follow me? This is what we should be doing, making restitution. We're not buying off God, but it is a kind of sin offering, trying to make restitution for those whom we cannot make restitution to directly. And let us make up for it by expressing our sorrow and regret, by seriously giving to those in need. This is not, as I said, to buy off God. No, this is our way to be sorrowful and to be, as the Apostle says, zealous for good works. Zealous for good works. One of the ways in which we, like Zacchaeus, can become big men in the kingdom of God. Amen.